Yes, once again, you're listening to the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. If there's anyone out there who knows how to contact Kathleen Marquardt of Putting People First organization from Helena, Montana, would you please ask her to contact me or call and leave a message where I can reach her? The number is 602-337-2562. That's 602-337-2562. That's Kathleen Marquardt of Putting People First organization from Helena, Montana. I need to talk to that wonderful lady if it's at all possible. If somebody can put that together for me, I will be very grateful. Don't go away, folks. Got a lot to tell you tonight. Yes, well, you good people are listening to the Hour of the Time. Most of America is glued to the idiot box watching Monday Night Football or some such other idiocy. Couch potatoes. I told you that when the information was released, I would convey to you the results of the attempts to put together a coalition of third parties. And tonight I'm going to do that because I've received the information that I was waiting for. And but first I'm going to read you the resolution that was signed by everybody that was present at the first meeting, which took place December the 2nd and 3rd. I believe it was December 2nd and 3rd, 1994. At which I attended, which was the first meeting. And it's called the Kansas City Resolve. Whereas the undersigned, being alarmed over our federal government's departure from the principles and procedures set forth in our Declaration of Independence and Constitution for the United States of America, and wanting to cooperate with one another and with others who share our concern in pursuit of a goal of returning the federal government to within the limits prescribed by the Constitution while maintaining our independence and freedom to differ with one another on the application of the enumerated powers assigned to the federal government and the issues falling within the powers reserved to the states or the people under the 10th Amendment to the Constitution when we so choose, and on the strategies for pursuing them, and Whereas we have met on December 2nd and 3rd, 1994, in Kansas City, Missouri, at the invitation of the Constitutionist Networking Center to discuss the need to and ways of cooperating with one another in pursuit of our common goal and a major objective of ensuring American voters are offered viable, constitutionally committed political alternatives in the 1996 elections. And whereas we recognize our cooperation is contingent on having a common platform delineating the policies and procedures to be pursued by the federal government, and whereas a precedent for such cooperation was set in previous times when several individuals and representatives of political parties became alarmed over the concerns we now share, and whereas those individuals and representatives agreed upon a common platform to be applied to the operation of the federal government, and then agreed to organize a new political movement at the national level by individually and jointly agreeing to cooperate with one another and to adopt a platform known as the Constitutional Union Platform, and whereas the undersigned wholeheartedly agree with the context of the preamble to and the Constitutional Union Platform per se, that the Constitution for the United States of America says what it means what it says, and is not difficult to understand. Be it resolved that the undersigned hereby commit ourselves to cooperate with every individual and organization sharing our goal, and to help develop, promote, and support a plan which will include a national convention to be held in the third quarter of 1995, whose purposes will include 1. The formation of a coalition composed of selected state and national political parties who share our previously stated goal, will support our plan, and are willing to adopt the Constitution for the United States of America as their national platform, while recognizing their freedom to pursue the planks of their platforms within the states and under the powers reserved to the states by the 10th Amendment to the Constitution for the United States of America. 2. The selection of a presidential and vice presidential candidate who share our individual and organization's concerns and interests. 3. Recognizing the wisdom and patriotism of our kindred spirits and honoring their efforts by adopting the following platform, which is derived from the Constitutional Union Platform. We affirm our sincere loyalty to the Constitution for the United States of America, and express our deep confidence in that document as the basic law of our land. We deplore all attempts to violate it, whether by legislation, by means of invasion, or through judicial interpretation. We believe in the principles of liberty and justice enunciated in the Declaration of Independence and in the Preamble and Bill of Rights of our Constitution. We declare ourselves in hearty support of our system of representative government with its plan of checks and balances, and express our firm intent to serve all the people of our nation with a constructive, forward-looking program of good government dedicated to the preservation and restoration of our Constitution, the restoration of our republic, and the welfare of our country. Experience has demonstrated that platforms adopted by the partisan conventions of the country have had the effect to mislead and deceive the people, and at the same time to widen the political divisions of the country by the creation and encouragement of geographical and sectional parties. It is both the part of patriotism and of duty to recognize no political principle other than the Constitution of the country, the union of the states, and the enforcement of the laws, and that as representatives of the men and women of the country, in national convention assembled, we hereby pledge ourselves to maintain, protect, and defend separately and unitedly these great principles of public liberty and national safety against all enemies at home and abroad. Believing that thereby peace may once more be restored to the country, the rights of the people and of the states reestablished, and the government again placed in the condition of justice, fraternity, and equality, which under the example and constitution of our fathers has solemnly bound every citizen of the several states and of the United States to maintain a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. The signatures affixed were Evan Meekum, Walter L. Myers, Doris Feimer, Nick Ivanovich, Glenn Walquist, State Senator Don Rogers, Joseph Stump, Alex DePena, Nelson Bernauer, Byron Dale, Al Moore, Jackie Bradbury, Vince DeNiro, Arlie Peterson, Dr. Greg Dixon, Ron Stewart, Lynn Bay, Louis B. Hall, William Cooper, J.J. Bosell, Rich Bay, Roman Hasleg, Elmer Vaughn, and Stephen Givett.
Hey, 1995. With all the conflict, unemployment, and let's just face it, with the world falling apart, maybe you're ready to change your image. The militia look is in. Show your power. Get lean. Mean. And in all our extra large sizes, you won't even need to go on a diet to look a figure of authority. Drop the Brummel and go for the bow. Yes, talking about chic 90s, combat ready, bow bright, surplus military apparel. For the end times, the grit look is in. Lots of extra ribbons, campaign buttons, merit badges to add flair, showing that disorganized militia you care. Double cross stitching, imported golden triangle brass buttons, and talon Xylon zippers that won't jam. The pants also feature extra large pockets to warm your hands in. And collars, only Beau Bright's apparel exclusively features corn sheet cameo, a green and yellow hue that will blend in with every suburban situation. For those more formal moments, lodge meetings, patriot rallies, gun shows, even the courthouse, Beau Bright's apparel now handles McLam's Open Sky Blue. It's the same color worn by Phoenix Police Department's finest. Forget the alligator, lose the fox, strap on the spike. Beau Bright's apparel, soon to be sold at a designer surplus store in your area.
And in the last meeting, this is the official release, and I've read it over, and it is accurate, ladies and gentlemen. So without further ado, this is what you've been waiting to hear. The highlights of the Constitutionist Networking Center Political Action Coordinating Conference was held at the Kansas City International Airport DoubleTree Inn on January the 6th and 7th, 1995. The next conference will be held on February the 3rd and 4th, 1995, and I will be attending. It will convene at 12:30 p.m. on the 3rd and adjourn at 3 p.m. on the 4th. The tentative agenda is included. The following are the highlights of the last meeting. Two additional political parties were represented at this conference, the United States Taxpayers and United Independents, chaired by Mr. Howard Phillips and Mrs. Don Larson, respectively. Members of six parties have now agreed to coordinate their efforts for the 96 election. Others are from the Libertarian, American, Populist, and Constitution parties. The participants unanimously agreed to A, the goal of returning government to within the limits prescribed by the Constitution, and B, the Kansas City Resolve developed at the December conference, and C, to form a group to pursue A, which is the goal of returning government to within the limits prescribed by the Constitution. Let's form a group to pursue a constitutionally unified republic for everyone. Constitutionally unified republic for everyone. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, a cure. A cure. Its functions will include, but not be limited to, that of a coordinating center, the planning, programming, and execution of a series of regional conferences, and the planning and management associated with the September 95 Coalition Nominating Convention. Kudos go to Mr. Nelson Bernauer, a member of United We Stand America, for suggesting the CURE. It was decided the undersigned will be CURE's interim director, and that its mission, function, legal considerations and ramifications, life cycle, and needs should be studied before the next conference. The findings and some recommendations are to be presented to the coalition or committee of the whole for decision on February the 3rd, 1995. And D, a scenario for electing a president having these key ingredients. 1. Each participating political party and selected constitutionally committed organizations will be invited and encouraged to nominate a potential presidential candidate. Please prepare your recommendations and bring them to the next conference. 2. Formation of a presidential search ad hoc committee. Members are CNC Chairman Evan Meekum, UIP Chairlady Don Larson, USTP Chairman Howard Phillips, and CP Chairman Bill Cooper. The committee is to select who they perceive to be the most qualified and electable candidates from among the nominations. As a post-conference action, the undersigned makes a motion that the Presidential Search Committee be authorized to limit the number of potential candidates to 5, should it so decide, and that an interim report be provided the coalition by March 1, 1995. The motion received a second from Mr. Kurt Brenneman. And 3, the selected potential candidates will be equitably assisted in obtaining public exposure prior to a national convention to be held on September 19th and 20th, and that's tentative, ladies and gentlemen, 1995. CURE is to survey locations for regional conferences and the convention and provide recommendations to the coalition as soon as possible. 4, the coalition presidential and vice presidential candidates will be selected by the delegates to the convention. The procedure for selecting the delegates remains to be determined. Addressees are invited to submit their suggestions for selecting them to the undersigned not later than January 22, 1995. They will be consolidated and provided as options to those at the February conference for decision. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm a major player in all of this, and if you have any suggestions or ideas of your own, I will be happy to receive those and to put them under consideration. And if they have, good merit, then I will submit them to the coalition as a whole. Number five. Assuming the coalition candidate will be elected in 1996, and why not, the remaining pre-convention candidates and members of the political parties and organizations participating in the coalition will be afforded priority consideration in the selection of administrative assignments by the coalition's presidential transition team. 6. It is preferred that the coalition candidate be ballot qualified as an independent in every state, and for her or him to be endorsed and supported by every party and organization that is or chooses to become a part of the coalition. If it turns out that matching funds aren't available to independent candidates, the coalition will have to decide whether to forego them, run the candidate under the name of an existing coalition party, or form a new party. Mr. Joe Slavinick and Mr. Steve Perry are to research the requirements and available options for obtaining ballot status in every state and provide the coalition a briefing at the February conference. Mrs. Larson has agreed to prepare a set of guidelines to educate members of the coalition on the sand traps of the political process. She will present them at the February conference. She has an awful lot of experience, is a very intelligent woman, and I'm sure that she will provide a great enlightening, so to speak. A Mr. Gary Tomlinson was reported to have a voter information pipeline electric town hall capability, which might have application for the Constitutionist Networking Center and our CURE. Steve Perry agreed to solicit a proposal from Mr. Tomlinson, evaluate it in light of the coalition's needs, and make a presentation on his findings and recommendations at the February conference. With the potentially controversial decisions behind the coalition. The Constitutionist Networking Center suggests it is time to expand the participation in the coordinating conferences. We will therefore open the February meeting at 2 p.m. on the 3rd to people beyond those who attended the December and January conferences. If there are any key individuals, leaders of state or national organizations, or editors, publishers of constitutionally oriented publications who will honestly report on the coalition's activities that you wish to invite, feel free to do so. Please let the undersigned know who they are by January 27th. So, folks, if you are one of those people who would like to attend, please notify me so that we can discuss it. If you fit the parameters that have the requirements that have been outlined here, then you may come as on my invitation. So please let me know who you are and who you represent so that we can check it out and make sure that you fit these qualifications. And if you do, you're very welcome to come. CNC will also sponsor a political action coordinating conference on the afternoon of February the 2nd and the morning of February the 3rd, 1995. It, too, will be held at the Kansas City International Airport. It will be a forum for approximately 18 of the nation's most notable monetary policy experts to compare their proposed solutions to the problem, to critically examine the proposals to ensure they would not unduly enrich nor impoverish anyone if implemented, and that the implementation would in no way seriously disrupt the economy. The PAC's purpose is to try to integrate the best of the individual proposals into one. If the participants come to an agreement on such a plan, it will be presented to the coalition for consideration just prior to adjournment on the 4th, if time permits. Let me see here. So far, let me tell you who's participating in all of this. The coalition participants, so far, have been Evan Meekum, Walter L. Myers, William Cooper, yours truly, Roman Haslick, Rich and Lynn Bay, Ron Stewart, Merton Short, Elizabeth Short, who is the mayor of North Kansas City, who, in all fairness to her, I must say, attended the last meeting as an observer only. Nick Ivanovich, Don Larson, Steve Perry, Joe Slavinick, Nelson Bernauer, Kurt Brenneman, Harold Smith, Bob and Marie Gorman, David W. Lloyd, Dr. Greg Dixon, J.J. Bosell, John Voss, Jim Thomas, Joe Stump, Senator Don Rogers, Senator Charlie Duke, Ted Seifert, Dr. Gene Schroeder, Al Moore, Lois B. Hall, Arlie Peterson, Reed Grano, Jackie Bradbury, Doris Feimer, Alex DePina, Elmer Vaughn, Vince De Niro, Gwen Walquist, and Steve Givett. I believe I pronounced everyone's name properly. If I did not, I apologize. And I think that's it for the report on what we've been doing with the coalition to put a constitutionally committed president and vice president in the White House in the 1996 election. And ladies and gentlemen, with your help, we can do that. You need to join one or more of the parties listed. You know, there's nothing that prevents you from joining more than one political party. You can just only vote for one in the primaries, and you can split your vote amongst whoever you want in the actual general election, in case you were not aware of that. It's true. You can do it. You can also write in a candidate if you wish. And don't forget, even as a member of a political party, you can still vote for an independent. So we hope that you'll join the Constitution Party, because the Constitution for the United States of America is our platform already. So there's no way that anyone's going to get elected from our party who is not committed to constitutional Republican government and restoration of the Constitution and the Bill of Rights as the supreme law of this land. It has to be that way. And that's the way it's going to be. Now, I've got to address a letter written to me by a friend of mine, Michael J. I'm not going to say his last name. And he is a friend. He's a CADGI member. He's an intelligence service member. He has done an awful lot in this battle to help all of us. But sometimes, as with a lot of other people, he's just not listening. And I know a lot of you have been calling and asking me this same question. So I'm going to address his question to all of you who have been wondering about the answer to it. And Michael J., this is not criticism of you. It's an answer to your question. Okay? And he says, after a long one page of a letter, which contains our normal type of correspondence, and Bill, do us all a blankety-blank favor and do some research into rabbinical Judaism before you sound like a desperate man trying to ridicule valid research by others and defend racist criminals. He says, it is obvious that you have not done the proper research into this subject and you cannot speak in an educated manner. Although you seem to take delight in admonishing the Masons and the Nazis, you fail to accept the truth about the Zionists. Now, first of all, the Talmud teaches that the Hebrew Semitic tribes of Israel are the chosen people of God and deserve to rule the world from a state of Israel which would extend from the Nile River to the Euphrates River, besides allowing them to lie, cheat, steal, and murder the Goyim. This is blatant racism. Can you not see that? The Talmud is the book which is used to teach the rabbis, and the rabbis convey its messages to the pious Jews. And a higher percentage of Jews are pious than most other religions. Between 100 BC and 700 AD, a nomadic group of Turkish tribes formed a state between the Black and Caspian or Khazarian seas, which became known as Khazaria. In approximately 740 AD, King Bulan of the Khazars converted, along with his royal family, to what was then known as Talmudism. These people are Jews, since Judaism is a religion and not a race. But seeing as that these peoples were not descendants of the Hebrew Semitic, which is a race, tribes, and that the majority of Jewish Zionism these days is made up of these Khazars, the deception behind Zionism becomes even more staggering. This is the point to be understood about the Khazars, that the racist claim is that the Hebrew Semitic tribes are the chosen people, not the full body of Jews today. No amount of manufactured ridicule, which sounds disjointed and desperate, can distort the truth on this matter, no matter how hard you try. Can you not do the blankety-blank research and see the truth of the matter? The Masons are racist, the Nazis are racist, and yes, blankety-blank, the Zionists are racist. And by the way, Dr. Norm Resnick, by his own words, claims that the Jews are the chosen people. Hell of a patriot, eh? He's on their side, not ours. And I bet he would call you an anti-Semite in a New York minute. By the way, pious, racist Jews refuse to say or write the word God, and I note that in Aaron Russo's recent letter to me informing us about you taking over the party, he fully spelled out God. Thank God for that. And he goes on. And we got to take a break. Right after the break, folks, I will answer. Well, first I'll read the rest of his criticism and question, and then I will answer it for all of you, because I get a lot of letters like this. Apparently, people are not listening. So, don't go away. I'll be right back after this little skit by a very famous singer calling your attention to the hypocrisy of those who profess to be promoting equality amongst the races. This is in no way meant to be disparaging upon any way and should be taken as it is meant. By the way, I'm the only one in the world who has the guts to play this anyway. Aha. Got a little hang up here. Oh, I see what it is. Okay, here we go.
And now, her nib.
Ooh.
of the Time is brought to you by Swiss America Trading. They're the only people in all of our research that applied to sponsor this broadcast that I felt I could back personally, just as they back the Hour of the Time. They provide precious metals in their various forms, and they back their product as they back the Hour of the Time, and as I back them. They have a guarantee. They have a buyback policy. They record the agreement between the salesperson and the customer so that there is no misunderstanding before the product is even sent to you, ladies and gentlemen. You are called. The terms of the agreement are gone through on the telephone, and that conversation is taped. And if there's any disagreement during that telephone conversation, it's not shipped. It's as simple as that. So, if you're looking for someone to do business with in the precious metals field, I can only recommend Swiss America Trading. Not only because of their policies and the way they do business, but because I've grown to become friends with many of the people there, including the owner, Craig Smith, who, by the way, has done an awful lot for the Hour of the Time and for me personally that you don't even know about and probably never will know about. They do not pay me one single cent, ladies and gentlemen, for that was part of our agreement to maintain the credibility of this broadcast. I demanded that the only payment received would be WWCR and whatever satellite network that we are dealing with in order to pay for the airtime only. We make no money with this broadcast. And as you know, if you've been listening for long enough, we very seldom even advertise our own products during the Hour of the Time. So folks, if you are thinking about securing a part of your assets with the security and stability of the only real money in the world, and constitutionally and under the United States Code, then you need some precious metal. And I got to tell you this, even if you decide not to deal with the sponsor of the Hour of the Time, Swiss America Trading, I still urge you to deal with someone. You must protect yourself. And folks, there's a big fall coming. A big one. So call Swiss America Trading right now, 1-800-289-2646. Leave your name and number. Make sure that you tell them that you listen to the Hour of the Time and that William Cooper sent you. That way you get red carpet treatment. And that's the only reason I want you to tell them that. They give special consideration to the listeners of the Hour of the Time. And someone will call you back tomorrow during working hours, or you can call tomorrow and talk to somebody live right then and there. But you know how you are. You tend to procrastinate. We all do. So I urge you to call tonight so that you won't forget. Look around at your loved ones. If you cannot assure them right this moment that you've taken care of their security financially under threat of any kind of economic disaster, then you must make this call. 1-800-289-2646. That's 1-800-289-2646. Do it now. You'll be glad that you did. 1-800-289-2646. Oh, the tender, tender. That's intended for everyone who sits and talks and does nothing. You can profess all you want to that you're against racism, but if you don't do anything to stop it, you're just a bag of wind. You can profess to be a patriot, but if all you do is sit on your couch and listen to broadcasts and complain and bitch and moan, then you're just a bag of wind. A lot of hypocrisy in this country. And, folks, that's got to stop. Well, let me finish with Michael Jay's criticism and question, sort of a combination. And you see, I don't take affront to his asking me this because Michael has proven to me over and over again that he is intelligent. He's not a sheeple. He's been out here on this battlefield helping to fight this battle for a long, long time. He's taken his hard knocks just like I have. And so he has a right to criticize and question. And he deserves an answer, and he will get it tonight. And he continues. He says, are you willing to ridicule the work of Army G2 intelligence during World War II? See John Beattie's book, The Iron Curtain Over America. Have you read the book, The 13th Tribe, by Arthur Koestler? How about the privately printed book by the converted Jew Benjamin Friedman, Facts or Facts? Have you looked into the Jewish Encyclopedia? How about the book I sent you about Jewish ritual murder? Fine, if you are going to exclude me from certain types of participation because you do not want to accept this part of the truth, I can accept that. But it only reflects as being hypocritical, and it is totally inconsistent with your spoken words. So get your act straightened out and stop being inconsistent. You are not telling the whole truth on this matter. Find the truth and report on it, blankety blank. So now, do you think I have too much baggage that I do not qualify for a position in the Constitution Party? If so, then my baggage will be found to be true. In close, please find a copy of response by Senator Bradley to my sending of the article from the anti-shyster and the hijacked representative who was executed for violating the Constitution and Bill of Rights regarding gun control. They just love claiming it's an emotional issue, blankety blank and blank. None of the rest of it has anything to do with this question. And my answer, Michael, is I have done the research. I've done it over and over and over and over and over again. I've done it so much that I don't even care to participate in that research again. And we've documented it all. We have it all here. We have all the books that you cited here, including the Jewish Encyclopedia, and much, much more that you don't cite here. And what we have discovered and what I have clearly stated on the air is that there are some Jews involved. I have stated that Zionism is a big player in the move toward the New World Order. And I've said that for the last 2.5 years, 2.75 years, actually. And I've said it over and over and over again. But just as all whites are not racist, neither are all Jews racist, and neither are all Jews Zionists. Most of the people who participate in the battle for the New World Order on the side of those who would oppress us are members of the secret societies, a big contingent belonging to B'nai B'rith, which is an offshoot of the Scottish Rite of Freemasonry. Most of the players in this move toward the New World Order on the side of British Israel are British Freemasonry, are Zionist, including many prominent Christians. And most of the criticism that you have here, blaming certain things on Jews, are just as true of Christians and many others. And I beg to differ with you. Most Jews are not pious Jews. And there's a big concern amongst the rabbis that so many of their people are leaving the self-inflicted ghettos, are leaving the Jewish religion, are intermarrying with other faiths and races. And believe me, according to my research, it's a very high percentage. And as far as carrying too much baggage for the Constitution Party, we accept anyone who sincerely wants to restore constitutional government, including the right of all people to worship at the altar of their choice, to live with their individual liberties secured in this country, protected by the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, to do and participate in anything that they wish to participate in or do, as long as they do not injure the person or property of any other person. I don't care what race, religion, color, nationality, creed, anything else that they belong to, as long as they fit into that parameter, it's fine. Just as some people would object to my participation in the Constitution Party, I'm sure somebody would object to your participation, Michael. But you see, in a free country, everyone has a right to participate as long as they do not injure the person or property of others. The right of free speech gives you the right to think and say whatever you wish to think and say. But I would be very careful about branding a whole people. You see, that just isn't true about any people. Not all blacks are on welfare. Not all blacks sell dope. Not all blacks kill other blacks or whites. Not all whites are racist. Not all poor whites are on welfare. Not all poor whites are in gangs or killing other whites or blacks or Jews or anything else. Not all Jews are Zionists. Not all American Indians hate whites. You can never, ever make a blanket statement about any people or any group, no matter what kind of group it is. It just is not true. Can never be true. Some people follow blindly their leaders. Some people like you and I, Michael, are individuals who follow their own particular drummer. And that includes Jews and Indians and Orientals and blacks and whites and everybody else. And as I have pointed out on this broadcast over and over and over and over again, most Jews, because they have been singled out for persecution throughout the history of the last 2,000 years, are easily deceived and manipulated. And organizations like B'nai B'rith and the Anti-Defamation League do it constantly. Constantly. Just like certain leaders of the black community deceive and manipulate the blacks to make them sincerely believe within their minds that all their troubles should be blamed upon whitey. To make them believe that they are slaves. To make them believe that there's no place in this country for them. To make them believe that they have no rights or guarantee of rights under the Constitution. All lies. Just like there are some people, their own leaders on the Indian reservations, who convince the Indians that they are worthless and cannot succeed, and milk them and rob them, usually their own people, but not always. You see, ladies and gentlemen, this is a different world than it was. Blacks can no more hold the white race responsible for what was socially acceptable and absolutely 100% legal 200 years ago, or even 150 years ago, today, then we can hold them responsible for sitting around a campfire and eating their black neighbor. Christians who hold the Jews who live today responsible for the death of Jesus Christ or anybody else 2,000 years ago, when those people were not living then and had absolutely nothing to do with it, foment trouble. Jews who insist upon enclosing themselves in little ghettos and hating other people because somebody at some time persecuted Jews are making the same stupid mistake. Ladies and gentlemen, we are each responsible for our own actions. The people who are destroying this nation and bringing about a totalitarian socialist world government come from all different races and all different religions. Most of them are puppets who have no more an idea of what they're involved in or what they're doing or what it's going to bring into this world than the man in the moon. Michael, I hope that answers your question. But I haven't let the Zionists off the hook. Never. Never. I put at least one quarter or more of the responsibility of what's happening squarely upon the shoulders of international Zionism, which in my book translates into international socialism. Zionism sides with British Israelism, which claims that there is a master race, just as you say here, that they are God's chosen people, that everyone else is inferior to them, and they claim that that race is the Anglo-Aryan race, led by the nation of England. That they, and they alone, have inherited the divine right to rule through descendancy from the house of David. On the other side, we have French Freemasonry, which represents atheistic communism or Marxist socialism, which, by the way, is the same thing that international Zionism represents. If you look at the nation of England, you'll see that both sides have a lot in common. The English people are not free. They don't live in a democracy. They live under an oppressive socialism that taxes them to death. If you don't believe me, call somebody in England and ask them. For some reason, the Catholic Church always sides with French Freemasonry. Don't ask me why, but they do. There's something inherently communistic in the Vatican. I haven't been able to put my finger on it. But basically, those are the four forces aligned. Both sides will bring in a totalitarian socialist world government. One, if it wins, will be headed by the Catholic Pope. The other, if it wins, will be headed by a king or queen. It doesn't matter which one wins, we're all going to lose. Including a lot of Jews, a lot of Christians, a lot of whites, a lot of blacks, a lot of American Indians, a lot of Indian Indians, a lot of Orientals, and everybody else that you can think of that lives on this earth. Because if you don't turn out to be one of the elite, then you're going to be one of the worker bees, the slaves. So, ladies and gentlemen, my message is quit falling for all the lies, the deceit, the manipulation. Stand on your own two feet. If man, individual man, will just grow up, we can all live on this earth peacefully. I get so sick of these arguments that have no substance whatsoever. Not all Jews have ever read the Talmud. Not all Jews care about the Kabbalah or have ever read it or have the time to study it to even learn what in the hell it means, because it's extremely complicated and it's almost pure symbolism. And if you really get into the study of this stuff, you'll find that many more people who are not Jews adhere to this mystery teaching than Jews. And boy, the phone light is just ringing off the wall. I have pushed some buttons all over the place, and I'm glad, because that's what I'm here for. You see, if I push your buttons, it means I've hit the target right on the mark. It's like somebody who calls me and is so angry because I said that they were a sheeple. You see, they don't understand. If they weren't a sheeple, my comment would not have bothered them at all. It only bothers those who know that I'm talking about them personally. They know it inside, and it hurts. Someone who's not a sheeple, it goes right over the head. They know I'm not talking about them, and therefore they're not insulted, bothered, angered, or anything. My mission is to awaken and deliver a message to the people of America and to the world. And so far, I think I've been doing a pretty good job. Don't you?
Phyllis Iggy Hartford, publisher extraordinaire, who brought you the Spotlight, the Barnes Review's own national value award, is pleased to announce its most esteemed project, Militia Mania, feature article, photo up by Mike Blair, then and there foreign food movement, oh how bad to shoot them, mind teases from the mind of Joseph Mullen, editorials and opinions, announcements of patriot rights, building projects by Lyndon LaRouche. In the first issue, the malicious new trinity, Wright, McLam, and Shanti, explore the crucifixion of the new world order. Who holds the knowledge? Elizabeth Clare Prophet channeled Norman Lingen Rockwell in an in-depth interview, plus the serialized version of Jeffrey Baker's new book, Harvest Checkers, in which Dr. Baker detailed how the Alaskan oil platforms near the infamous Gull Island were used by Russian microbiologists to develop an aerosol spray which induces Alzheimer's disease. In the compelling first chapter, Ronald Reagan's onset of Alzheimer's disease is detailed. Oomph! Mom changes its name to Pop. Yes, the militia of Montana has now made the move to call itself P.O.P. The Patriot Opportunist Platform. How propaganda organized properly prevents otherwise pacified people overcoming progress. Don't pass over, please, this positive perspective. All here on war, Militia Mania. Part of subscription, $33. Are you surprised? What a bargain. You will subscribe.
Whoa, boy, did I get some feedback then? I forgot to pop off the whatever it's called here. I don't know what it's called. Oh, frequency equalizer. I forgot to pop it off before I put my mic pop back up to the normal level. Well, Michael, I got to tell you, you're needed in this fight. You've been doing good work. But in that one instance tonight that I answered you on, and nobody knows who you are but me, you're wrong. I happen to know this for an absolute fact, Michael, and for all the rest of you, that if and when the New World Order comes to power, Orthodox Judaism will be destroyed. The Christian religion will be destroyed. The followers of the Nation of Islam will be destroyed. And any other religious or fundamentalist organization that refuses to renounce their God or their religion and join the new world religion will be simply eliminated. And the new world religion is not going to be Judaism. I hope you all understand that. We're all, throughout our life, suckered, lied to, deceived, and manipulated. And one of the biggest tools of those who would oppress us is to divide us, make us fight against each other, so that we can be conquered. Good night. God bless you all. And God save the Republic.
surveillance monitoring.
Yes, sir.
It's worse than I thought. Each morning at night, they people do the kick. They go home early. They come in late. Reeking of cheap litter, they stumble through the day. Never give a thought to honest work for honest pay. I know it shouldn't vex me. I shouldn't take it hard. I should ignore their caperings with a keenly disregard. But look at all those kids. Oh, look at all those fools. An office full of morons. A factory full of fools. You should any wonder that I'm singing. I'm just getting started. They make personal phone calls on company time. They Xerox their butts and get you paid the time. Their blatant thievery wounds me. Their ingratitude is found. I long to lure them to my home and then release the hound. I shouldn't grow unsettled when faced with such abuse. I shouldn't let it plague me. I shouldn't blow a fuse. But look at all those idiots. Oh, look at all those fools. An office full of morons. A factory full of fools. Is it any wonder I'm singing, singing the blues? What happened? Where are the instruments?
I believe they call this a breakdown, sir.
I can't have any breakdowns here. What if there was an inspector around playing guitar solo?
I'm a little out of practice, sir.
Hey, say, do it! No, do it! Do it! Do it!
Yes, sir. Uh-huh. Thought I had my mojo working.
That man by the cooler is drinking water as if it's free.
Oh, that's Homer Simpson, sir. A drone from Sector 7G.
Yes, we'll call the Simpson to my office and stay to watch the fun. If he sees what he has his...